Today is Sunday, July 28th, 2019, and this...
So your round one challenge is to make a cake decoration that represents one wild night on the Las Vegas Strip.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 701.
Las Vegas!
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We get to talk about a bunch of weird Vegas stuff today.
Mm-hmm.
Some odd things in the news. So that's fun. But before we do that, I want to thank our Patreon patrons, the people who support this podcast week in and week out. They are wonderful. And normally at this point, I name a bunch of people. This week, I'm not. This week, I'm thanking the handful of people who have chosen to be anonymous.
Thank you, anonymous people.
They've chosen to, so you can do the Patreon thing, but choose none of the tiers, regardless of how much you give. You can choose you don't want the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think they still have access if they wanted to read and, you know, watch the videos and stuff. Anyway, there are a handful of people who have chosen that. So even though they are not on the regular thank you list that comes with certain levels, I would like to thank them without saying their names. Thank you, anonymous folks. You're wonderful. We appreciate you just as much as those who have names. All right. So if you're wondering about Patreon and what that's all about, you can support the show on an ongoing basis every month, and you get some bonus stuff if you choose. Patreon.com/500 is the place to go. I've sent out almost all of the bonus pins, and there's about a dozen people I'm still waiting on addresses from. So check your email. If you don't check your email on a regular basis and you haven't received the pins and you're expecting them, please check your email for instructions and I will get them to you. I'm holding them. It's not like they're not going to disappear. I have them for you, but I want to get them to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. At some point I might have to do a shame list.
Ooh.
It wouldn't really be a shame
no.
list. Anyway, I'm trying to communicate that with them in any manner possible, and this podcast may be the most effective way. All right. Anyway, let's get into some Vegas news. As I mentioned, we've got some weird stuff to talk about. We always learn new things from Las Vegas, week in and week out. This week, the thing that we learned is that grasshoppers migrate.
Who knew?
I had no idea. I don't think about grasshoppers in my everyday life.
No.
And yet, I was forced to this week when I saw video upon video of them swarming on the Las Vegas Strip
nope.
and Fremont Street.
Want no part of that.
No, not interested in the grasshopper invasion?
Nope.
Apparently...
I don't want to experience what it's like to be in a plague.
That seems to be what it's like. I guess they are migrating. What I read is that they're migrating. It's kind of funny. They're migrating from the Laughlin area,
which, let's be real.
If you're in Laughlin, you want to go to Vegas anyway. So, mm-hmm. yes, they're moving. I guess their eventual home will be Northern Nevada, and they're going through Las Vegas mm-hmm. because of... Because
they wanted to stop at the casinos along the way?
Apparently. More fun. Why would you not go there?
Mm-hmm.
Something to do with more rainfall than normal, and that's why they're drawn to that area. I don't know. I don't mm-hmm. I'm not a scientist, in case you haven't realized that already. And they're drawn to bright lights. So Fremont Street and Las Vegas Boulevard
mm-hmm.
are seeing a lot of them, and some of them are not surviving. We should probably take a moment of silence for the grasshoppers.
No, we're good.
All right. Apparently, it's kind of gross.
Yeah. Like
somebody said it looks like barf on the sidewalk
because mm-hmm.
there's just like such a concentration of stomped grasshoppers.
And wouldn't that be slippery?
I would think it would be, but I haven't seen any videos of anybody falling down or anything like that. So
that would be equally gross. Like, not only do you slip and fall and possibly injure yourself, but you land in a pile of dead grasshoppers. Well,
the other thing is, too, even if the casinos are closing their doors, they're getting inside.
Oh, yeah.
They have to. And don't you think at some point somebody's going to bite down on a hamburger and it's going to be just a little too crunchy?
Mm-hmm. I keep seeing references to, but grasshoppers are tasty.
Oh, that's a thing. There's a tiny segment of people who are pro. We should eat grasshoppers. It's a good way to get your protein without having to harm any animals. Well, they're insects. They're kind of animals.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I'm not.
You do you. I mean, if you like grasshoppers and want to eat them, go right ahead. Just not for me.
Unless I'm not naked and afraid, which isn't happening anytime soon. I'm not going down the let's munch on insects mm-hmm. road. I'd prefer to.
Did you ever, this is a tangent, did you Good. Ever read the Little House series?
I read all of the Little House on the Prairie books.
Remember
when I was
the
a
grasshoppers
child.
That yeah. came to destroy the crops
vaguely,
and they were everywhere?
Vaguely. I don't remember those books as well as you do because it's a frequent point of reference for you.
Yeah.
Do you realize that?
I don't realize that.
Every couple months you'll ask me a question and it always starts with, did you read the Little House series? Which I remind you, yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
All of them. No, I don't remember the specifics. Other than, yeah, I guess I have a vague recollection of there being an invasion.
Yeah, they wiped out the crops and
poor Pa Ingalls.
Mm-hmm. And they stained the girls' dresses.
Yeah, they
did.
There
was something about, that's disgusting. Stop trying to taint my youth.
Taint. You said taint. This show is going well.
It is. But I remember the description of, it was like the grasshoppers were spitting tobacco on the dresses.
Oh, I kind of remember something about that.
It's vivid.
Speaking of taints.
So be careful. Don't wear your best clothing to Vegas. Okay, nice segue.
This is not
speaking
this.
Of, okay.
Since you brought up the word taint, mm-hmm. I am horrified by the commercial I've been seeing on television.
I had a feeling you were going this way.
I think I often will pay attention to the ridiculous disclaimers that you hear at the end of commercials for prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one, I think it might be a diabetes drug or something. It's, is it Jardiance?
Possibly. They all
anyway,
blur together because they have non-names.
There's an alarming thing at the end that caught my attention, and I don't remember exactly how it's worded, but I looked it up.
But it'll make you sit up and listen.
Yeah, it's a flesh-eating virus that starts on the taint.
Mm-hmm.
And then one night I'm watching TV and they have
They
one
don't
of those,
really say taint, they say perineum or
yes,
something, right?
They do, but that's what it is. But then one night I'm watching late night TV and all of a sudden there's one of those ambulance chaser class action lawsuit commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have mesothelioma and you're dead, you can still get a settlement. It's one of those mm-hmm. things.
Oh,
except for it was for.
Or mesh. Vaginal mesh
vaginal
is another
mesh
one.
Is another one. But this one was for, I'm pretty sure this is a drug, and gangrene of the genitals. That's a horrifying phrase.
Uh huh.
Anyway.
Do not want that.
No. So what have we learned today? Grasshoppers
mm-hmm.
Cause dress stains, and some drugs may cause you to have a flesh-eating taint virus.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Okay, with that, let's get back to Las Vegas, because that's a lot more fun to talk about than flesh-eating taint viruses. We have
yes,
our show title this week.
I was just going
to
say, I guess we do.
Last week we discussed Downtown Grand and their video poker experiment, which has somewhat come to an end. Not really an end, I guess, but they've, as expected, they've dumped the favorable $2 level video poker pay tables and all of the full pay deuces wild. However, the pay tables remain pretty good on most of the games. They still, like, the Deuces Wild game is still, like, 99.96% mm-hmm. instead of 100-point-something percent.
And you know what? It would be over that if they allowed you to accumulate points.
It would be, which is the reason they still have not reinstated points to their Players Club for video poker play. Now, they need to find this balance, and I think they've got the video poker pay tables now to the point where it's not necessarily going to attract
all the pros,
the circling hawks that swoop in. But if they were to offer a little bit, you know, even if it's a reduced Players Club benefit, I think it would be a little bit more favorable deal to make those of us who are tourists happy as well. So anyway, I'm thrilled with their video poker thing. You know, the pay tables, better options on a lot of different games, different denominations as well, from nickel on up. They just need to get that Players Club thing figured out. The other thing, and typical of Downtown Grand, I kept an eye on their Twitter and Facebook, not promoting it at all. It's a total missed opportunity.
Hi, you could have people in your casino.
Which they do. I mean, people have found out about this, but they haven't been promoted.
You could have more people in your casino.
Yeah, they can promote it. Five. They can promote that they have more 99% plus games than anyone else downtown. And on the Strip, for that matter. I mean, I'm sure there are locals casinos that have better, but that's a huge thing to be able to promote.
Yeah, and they're not.
And they need to do something to promote because they just do. So maybe they'll figure that out, but I don't know. They make some weird decisions over there, that place. Anyway, I'm happy that they still have decent video poker, even if it's not at the high level that they experimented with. They just need to add in that Players Club thing and all will be well.
Would you still go play over there?
Yeah. Yeah, the lure of...
Of good pay tables.
The lure of great Deuces Wild machines. Yeah, I'd go play over there. So there you have it. We'll keep an eye on it because it is such an anomaly. We're not used to talking about improved player odds, so we'll see how it goes. All right, there was a conference call this week related to MGM Resorts. They had their quarterly earnings call, and a lot of times those calls have a little bit of information that's worth discussing, and that is the case this week, and I think this is some good news. I think most of us would agree this is some good news. Head honcho and soulless douchebag Jim Murren announced that, well, I don't know if announced is the right word, but he stated that MGM Resorts is not looking at acquiring additional properties.
Yay.
So they're focused on sucking the most value out of what they currently own. And this is good news.
What if you just stopped with their focus on sucking?
Well, they're, I don't know. I have mixed feelings.
I have mixed feelings, too.
Because they have some really good stuff.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about Park MGM later, which MGM, I have come around on.
I know. And MGM's properties are very nice, but...
But don't buy Cosmo, please.
Well, they're not interested in acquiring, so I assume that means Cosmopolitan. They did specifically mention the Caesars Entertainment properties. Some of those are going to be hitting the market probably as a result of the pending merger with Eldorado Resorts. I read an interesting article about the Eldorado-Caesars merger this morning on Motley Fool. Came up in my news feed.
Yeah.
About how this is a repeat. It looks very much like a repeat of when Harrah's and Caesars merged.
Ooh.
And then, as far as the amount of debt, this might even be a little bit worse, though, because Caesars doesn't own the real estate on a lot of its properties anymore because they formed the real estate trust company that owns it. Anyway, if the economy tanks, they're going to end up they're going to end up going through bankruptcy just like they just did. So anyway, they'll probably be selling off some
properties.
But if
they go through bankruptcy, it doesn't mean everything's going to close.
No,
blah,
nothing
blah, blah.
Closes. Yeah. It's just, it's a fucked up company. Anyway, good news that MGM isn't likely to acquire anything else in Las Vegas anytime soon. We need more companies, not fewer, for the sake of all of ours. Better for the consumer if there's competition. So hooray for that bit of news. And the reason that I say that Jim Murren is soulless, I don't know that for a fact. He may have a soul, but I don't know. I find
what happened to your hero named Jim?
Yeah, he's not. He, I mean, you have to question the anybody who sells himself out. He's supposedly a lifelong Yankees fan.
Oh fuck!
And yet. There have been statements that he's a Yankees and Red Sox fan.
You can't be both.
No, you
can't.
Nobody can do that.
No.
So he's willing to sell out his, you know, hardcore love of his team in order to get a sponsorship for MGM at Fenway Park. So that says all you need to know about the guy. Yep. Anyway,
I do remember the big MGM.
I don't know. Maybe he's a fine, very nice man. I don't know, but I enjoy his work.
My brain hurts just thinking about that.
Thinking about somebody who's willing to sell out their, you know, themselves in order to gain a sponsorship for the company they work for. Yeah. Yep. All right, moving along. This is good news for, we've got a lot of good news this week. This is good news for people who are fans of the Radisson Rewards Players Club. There has not been a hotel in Las Vegas, at least not in recent history, that is affiliated with the Radisson brand. That is changing now. They announced this week that they have signed an agreement with Treasure Island, and they will soon be part of the Radisson booking platform, so you can book through Radisson's website, as well as, beginning next year, the ability to earn and redeem Radisson Rewards points. Now, for a lot of us, this isn't a big deal, but there are a lot of people who are very loyal to one specific hotel brand.
And we talked about this with Cosmo and Marriott, for example.
There are a handful of them, and they change from time to time. Off the top of my head, I can't remember who's affiliated with what anymore, but it can be a big deal in terms of being able to maximize your reward points and all of that sort of thing. If you're a business traveler, especially, a lot of times you're... you try to be loyal to one because you get better rooms, you get better treatment, all those things. Plus, you can redeem for free rooms, just like you can with a Players Club. But if you are a Radisson person, Treasure Island is going to be the place for you in Las Vegas. And so always a good thing to have these sorts of affiliations available to people who use them. Hooray. Some entertainment news. I am pleased with this. I am full of good news. This is a good development. This is a very good development.
You're full of a lot of things, honey.
I am full of a lot of things. Plaza, downtown Las Vegas, they are doing something new with their showroom, and that showroom has been vastly underused. The last thing that was there on a regular basis was that mob musical that didn't last very long.
Yes, because they were like throwing money into the audience. And...
Well, I don't think that's the reason why. I think it was just a bad idea, but... it's an old-timey Vegas showroom. It's a classic Vegas showroom. You want it to be used. And they are going to be using it on a regular basis again. So this is good news, and I think this might be a use for it that will stick around for a while. I hope so, at least. Under the banner of Comedy Works, they are going to begin using the space for weekend stand-up comedy performances. I don't know if Comedy Works is an existing comedy club brand that they partnered with, or if it's just something they came up with, but... Anyway, Thursdays through Saturdays every week, beginning on September 12th, they're going to have headliner stand-ups. And these are people who, a lot of them are fairly well-known names.
This is something, I mean, you see comedians, like Vegas comedians with regular shows, but there isn't a venue for, like, rotating shows.
Yeah, like bigger headliners. Mm-hmm. So even if they're touring club comics, a lot of times you don't necessarily know who they are, so... at some of the smaller places. But for this, the acts that they've announced so far include, and I am familiar with several of these names, Jim Florentine, Kevin Downey Jr., Nick DiPaolo, Tom Green, Warren B. Hall, Lisa Lampanelli, Jamie Kennedy, and Tim Meadows. Tickets are reasonable, too. They start at 20, depending on the show, 20 to 30 bucks.
Wow.
For general admission. They do have some VIP tickets, which are front row, and I think include a cocktail waitress or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't include the cocktail waitress, but they include cocktail service.
They probably include some interactivity with the performers.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the front row at a comedy show anyway.
Hell no.
20 or 30 bucks, and their fees are minimal. They have some fees, but it's like $2 for Plaza's website fee, which is a bogus fee, but anyway. And then there's a couple taxes. So you end up paying like, for a $20 ticket, it was still around 30 bucks.
Yeah.
So it's not like Ticketmaster where you really get hosed. Where it would be like $45 for a $20 ticket. Anyway, they're available on Plaza's website. You can take a look at the schedule there. They've got acts booked out through 2019 and a couple of them already for next year.
Good.
Tim Meadows and one other dude are already next January and April. So, fantastic.
This is great.
Happy to see the showroom being used. Happy to see some headliner comics downtown. I have... nothing but good things to say about this. This is a great development. Mm-hmm. I hope that it does very well. And the price point is reasonable, which is fantastic too. So yeah, I don't know who's there during the summit week.
If you want to thank yourself for going out to see some live comedy.
Give yourself a round of applause for going to see live comedy and have a few chuckles while you're at it. I like when sometimes I'll hear stand-up comics interviewed. They make the rounds on a lot of podcasts. And when they're promoting their gigs, the names of some of the comedy clubs throughout the country are just like a lot of them are horrible puns or just really like the Chuckle Hut. It's just a horrible name. Anyway, Comedy Works is a little.
Isn't there palatable. A Ha Ha Hut somewhere too?
That sounds about right. Alrighty, another entertainment note. I am not a viewer of America's Got Talent, but for people who are, they may be interested in this. There is a magician named Shin Lim. And he recently performed a handful of shows at Mirage, and they must have gone well because they just added 21 dates through the end of this year. So if you're a fan of magicians, he's like a sleight of hand magician,
okay,
which means he's doing stuff with cards.
Yep.
I think I've mentioned on this, I think it's that maybe time to branch out from the playing cards in Magic. I don't know why they're so tied to the fucking playing cards, but they are.
You want them to use tarot cards?
Come up with something different than fucking cards. That's a big part of my problem with Magic. Doesn't seem to be a lot of development there. They're sticking with the same shit they've been using since the 1960s or 50s.
Or earlier.
Yeah. Anyway, tickets are $71 and up, plus Ticketmaster fees and taxes. So if you're interested in that performer or just are a lover of magic and card tricks, Mirage is the place for you. A couple restaurant notes. This one I'm excited about. I forgot this was coming. We talked about it months and months ago.
Yeah.
And, another new restaurant at Park MGM. And it's opening August 11th. It is called Crack Shack. It's going to do well because of the name, much like Egg Slut. People are going to love having their name, their picture taken in front of
Crack Shack.
Crack Shack. I think it's also it's a Southern California regional chain. So it's somewhat known as well. But anyway, it's a fried chicken restaurant coming very soon. And part of what is good about this, in addition to fried chicken being delicious, is that it is open pretty much all day. And Park MGM needs another option that's open all day. A lot of their restaurants are just open in the evenings. This one is 9 a.m. to midnight. Later on weekends, they have fried chicken, they have sandwiches, they have bowls, lots of deliciousness. I was looking at their menu and getting very hungry. Their sandwiches look amazing.
Yum.
I'm interested in trying Crack Shack. You can see all the deliciousness at crackshack.com and try it for yourself beginning on August 11th. Hooray for that. This is kind of, it's almost two restaurants in one.
Okay.
Opening at Planet Hollywood and Miracle Mile Shops. There used to be a restaurant called Today.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Pretty big space. It closed a while ago. That space is being filled beginning on the 31st of July by Chosun Huaro and Naran Teppan. It's Korean barbecue and Japanese teppanyaki and sushi. So I think, I don't know if they have the restaurant split into two or if it's, I don't know. But they have 30 Korean barbecue tables and 12 teppanyaki tables. They're promoting themselves as the only authentic Korean barbecue restaurant on the strip. I think they're probably seeing that Best Friend at Park MGM is getting a ton of attention for Korean barbecue. They want to set themselves out as different. So this is a deal where you sit around the table where they actually prepare your food on it.
Oh, okay.
And
how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's a little show. It's a little, you know, well, why not? I haven't been to a lot of them. I've been to a couple of the teppanyaki places, not in Vegas, but they do that whole thing where they flip around their knives and...
And this is different from guacamole's tableside prep, how?
You know what? I actually, when I was working on this, I had that same thought. The difference there is...
It's just part of the meal.
Yeah, this is... You go in, this is the whole thing. Guacamole, it's like one item that they come and prepare tableside. This, they put on a whole show. Mashing avocados is not a show. There's nothing entertaining about what they're doing when they prepare your tableside guac. Here, they're flipping knives in the air. They're like...
What if they were flipping knives or the little... Oh, I can't think of that.
And there's fire involved. Same thing. Same reason why like Cherry's Jubilee or Bananas Foster tableside.
Because there's fire, yeah.
They're putting on a show for you.
So if
mashing guacamole,
if they spiced up the guacamole show, yeah, would
what
you
are you
be more
do?
Excited?
How do you do that? I don't flipping the forks in the no juggling the avocados before they peel them. I don't. No, that's the difference. It's awkward having the guacamole prepared tableside because it's not that entertaining, and you feel obligated to watch. If they're doing something where there is fire and knives involved, that's
a
show.
Danger.
Bring it on. So that's the difference.
Okay.
What else? Okay, so the Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood, the location of this is in that weird space where you actually access it from outside, from Harmon.
Okay.
Now you can walk through the mall and go out right by that. It's by Buffalo Wild Wings and Nacho Daddy, and there's a Crawdad's place or something.
Restaurants.
Yeah. It's kind of a no man's land. I'm surprised anything survives there, quite frankly. But a couple of them have been there a while. So anyway, if you're looking for some decent Korean barbecue or Japanese, this is worth trying. It's open 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. beginning on, what is the 31st, Wednesday? Sometime this week.
Yeah.
There you go. More new restaurants. Finally, I think this is some good news.
I agree.
For everybody in the world who hates resort fees, which is everybody in the world.
Mm-hmm. Except for the hotel companies.
Yep. Except for Jim Murren. There are, we'll see. We'll see what the long-term effects of this are. There have been a couple lawsuits filed in the last few weeks going after the practice of charging resort fees. Specifically, attorneys general in Washington, D.C. and Nebraska are pursuing this. In D.C., it is against Marriott, and in Nebraska, it is against Hilton. The Hilton lawsuit actually specifically cites Las Vegas as an example using Tropicana, which is affiliated with Hilton. Mm-hmm. It's Tropicana. The all-new Tropicana Las Vegas, a DoubleTree by Hilton, or whatever their fucking full name is that nobody uses. They are using that as an example of resort fees deceiving customers, and they're accusing Hilton, and the other lawsuit is accusing Marriott of hiding the true price of their rooms. This is great, and this is great that this is happening. This is one of the things we need to see happening in order for these resort fees to possibly eventually go away,
mm-hmm.
with a caveat, which I'll mention in a minute. The point of the lawsuits is to require more honest disclosure of the total rate up front. So conceivably, they could keep the fees and just disclose it up front, but that would require like the third-party travel sites to also get on board.
Yeah.
Speaking of third-party travel sites, another related note, Booking.com, which is one such site, recently announced that it is going to be charging hotels a commission on the resort fee. There are two reasons that resort fees exist, we've discussed in the past. One is the hotels don't pay a commission on that to the third-party travel sites. The other one is that it affects their search rankings on the third-party travel sites.
You want to be on that first page.
You want to be on that first page. So if you have a smaller base charge and a higher resort fee, you're going to, just the base fee is what comes up in the searches.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be on that first page.
$19.99 a night.
And then you see the whole rate with the resort fee later on, and you find out, I'm actually
paying 3 or 4 pages later.
Exactly. So for booking.com to say, fuck this shit, that's good.
That's good.
Now we need the Expedias and the Travelocities and all those to follow suit. And then we need more lawsuits like this. And the thing about the lawsuits is there's a good likelihood that more attorneys general will pile on because AG...
It'll make them look good.
It'll make them look good in AG positions. All those people are generally looking to become governors, so they want their names to get out there. Mm-hmm. It's a stepping stone for a lot of politicians. They're trying to get their name out there, and one way to do that is to latch on to issues that resonate with consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Consumers hate resort fees. Latch on to that. They get attention. It builds goodwill, and then when they decide to run for governor, people remember, oh, yeah, they hated that thing that I hate. I'm going to vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of times the whole thing with attorneys general, and once a couple of them jump in, a lot of times others will see that there's blood in the water, and they'll jump on board.
Yep.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing additional lawsuits.
Welcome to Attorney General Shark Week.
Pretty much. So that's the scoop. Now, the caveat is if resort fees go away, yes, it will result in easier to understand rates, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have the one price, let's say, but the price is going to increase.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, it may increase
more than the base rate plus the resort fee.
Because they want to make up for the commission they have to pay as well.
Yeah.
So... you know, let's say this happens. Let's say for whatever reason, the attorneys general and the travel sites all, you know, come out against this, and eventually the resort fees, as we know them, go away. There's a good chance the rates will actually be higher, and they'll be charging for things like Wi-Fi separately. So you might end up paying more. So don't be surprised if that happens.
Right, right.
Now, there's still competition. They're still going to want to get on the front page of this.
Yeah.
Those third-party search engines are a big deal.
Yeah.
The percentage of rooms that are booked through those is very high.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's such a big deal. So really, you know.
Yeah.
I hate the resort fees because it is complicated and it is annoying and you feel like you're being nickel and dime, but you're probably going to end up paying for it, maybe even paying more, even if they go away.
Right. I wonder about the psychology of that. So let's say you're booking something and you think, all right, I'm getting this great deal. Let's just say $20 a night.
Yep.
Which is crazy low, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then you click through and all of a sudden you realize that they're adding $30 a night for your resort fee.
Yep.
So you're paying $50 a night. Because you've already sort of committed to that, even though it's an extra fee, are you more likely to do it or if you knew about the $50 up front?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I was thinking that's not where I thought you were going with it. I thought you were just going with the psychology of how you end up feeling about the transaction.
Yeah.
Which obviously people get very upset. Mm-hmm. So I would say that your feeling about the company and the transaction as a whole are going to be more negative. Even if the rates are even, you're going to feel worse about it if it's considered a fee versus
I'm paying $50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you're being tricked when it shows up afterwards.
Right. And what's the abandonment rate? Like, I'm already in for this. I'm just going to pay some more. Or
it would be hard to track that, though, because you don't really know why people are.
Right.
That might be why they're not completing the transaction, but it might not.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things kind of behind the scenes. The other thing, too, is I always like when the topic of fees or hotel rates comes up and like on a discussion forum or something.
Like a Facebook group
and someone will chime in and they get outraged at the hotel company and say, all they want to do is make money.
That's kind of why they're in business.
That's the entire point of being in business. Yes, that is. You are they correct.
You want to make money.
That's quite a profound statement you've made there. These damn businesses. Why are they not operating as a hobby or a nonprofit organization? I get it. I get the feeling. You know, when you feel like you're being nickeled and dimed, you know, you're not thrilled about it and stuff. But yeah, that's kind of what companies are there for. So it's unfortunate, but it all comes down to supply and demand. And as I've been saying for a long time, when the economy eventually tanks, we're all going to get great deals again.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Can we afford to pay them? Maybe.
Well, that's
not
the thing. That's the flip side is that's because demand drops because people aren't spending as much money and blah, blah, blah. But if you know, if you're able to do it, if you're able to continue going on vacation, you can get some really good deals. So there you go. Of course, if you're out of a job because the economy tanks, you're fucked.
Right.
This is Economy 101 on 500 by Midnight. All right, let's do this. Do you
remember? I don't remember fucking anything, man.
I have to even out all this good news with a flashback to some sad news we discussed on a past podcast. Show number 171 in June 2008. We had a very sad announcement. It was the end of, it wasn't even a long time show. It was a 6-month show, but I would say beloved by some.
By dozens.
Maybe dozens. Hats the Musical was
Hats,
closing.
Exclamation point, the musical.
It closed after just 6 months at Harrah's. This
Hats.
Hats. It was somehow tied into the Red Hat Society. Which,
yeah.
Are you going to join that when you hit 50?
No.
It's just a bunch of old ladies that hang out in hats, right?
Wait, when I hit 50, is that
50 plus, based on what I found today.
Closer than I am comfortable with.
50th birthday. Yeah. It's the Red Hat birthday. You're getting a hat.
Oh, man.
And it's not going to be jaunty at all. It's just going to be a dumb hat.
No.
And I'm going to sign you up for the Red Hat Society.
Please don't.
I hope we don't have any Red Hat Society ladies that are getting very offended right now. I don't know what they do. I just know it's a bunch of older women who gather together and wear hats.
I want it to be jaunty.
Well, maybe you can get a jaunty hat. I don't know.
You know how I like whimsical shit.
You're a big fan of whimsical shit. For whatever reason, Hats the Musical did not have the staying power of Menopause the Musical, which has been a long-running show. I don't know if Menopause the Musical was actually on the Las Vegas Strip yet at that point. I think it was. Might have been down at Excalibur or Luxor or something. Now that's at Harrah's. Same general audience they're going after.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I did find today when I was looking for any additional information on Hats the Musical, there is another. I was very confused because all of a sudden in the search results, most of the mentions of Hats the Musical were grade school productions.
What?
I'm like, that seems odd. Why would all these young children be performing this?
This menopause musical.
Yeah, apparently it's a different hats. Also has an exclamation point, though.
Huh.
So somebody is not enforcing their trademark.
No, apparently.
That would be really weird to go to a grade school production and all these kids dress like the Golden Girls. Just bizarre. The grade school hats, the musical, is only like 20 minutes long, and it's based on like being who you can, like every grade school production. Like, you're, no matter what hat you wear.
You can wear a bunch of different hats.
No matter what hat you wear, you're great at what you do.
Uh-huh.
You can do no wrong, you little fuckers. All right. So anyway, Hats the Musical didn't last long, and we remember it fondly here on 500 by Midnight. What have we learned about Hats the Musical today?
A lot.
Too much. All right. We're going to hold off on phone calls until next week, but we do have some Karma donations to thank folks for, including Michael with a Karma donation. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Our friend Johnny Puke. Haven't heard from him in a while. Birthday trip. Happy birthday,
Happy
sir.
Happy birthday, Johnny.
Coming up in August. Taking his new girlfriend for their first trip together. Oh, this is make or break. This is where we find out if the relationship's going to last.
Yep.
He'll have fun showing her around Las Vegas, though. That'll be awesome. Yeah. Janelle with a Karma donation for a trip starting next Saturday.
Thank you.
Have a great time. Joe with a Karma donation for all of the, on behalf of all the 500 listeners, and thanks of an amazing trip he and his wife, Teresa, just had. We heard from Joe last week.
Yes, we had a few phone calls.
Chad with a Karma donation for a Vegas trip on July 25th. First time at Cosmo, hoping for a hand pay.
Yes.
Aren't we all? Have a great time, Chad. Thank you very much. Tara said, buying good things for, that's the karma part of it. Buying good things for my gambling junket to Laughlin. Hey, migrate north with all the grasshoppers. You always have that.
Is Laughlin grasshopper free right now?
It's like the first. Normally, now I picture Laughlin as just being swarmed with grasshoppers all the time. And they're having like this wonderful week where they're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention that the grasshopper thing might last for a couple weeks?
I don't remember. But
it might. That's what they're saying. So if you're going to Vegas in the next couple weeks, you might experience the fun. Tara said kisses to Max. He's sleeping right now, but after the show.
We've had a lot of affection time today with Max.
Matthew with a Karma donation for an upcoming trip, August 1st through 4th, going out to compete in a video poker tournament and for a... Video game tournament. Sorry.
And we know what's on your mind.
I've got the itch lately, too.
Oh, me too.
And yearly Vegas shenanigans. Good luck with your your video games. Finally, Joe and Rach flying out for a 40th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Trying to decide which option is best, flying out hungover or slightly buzzed?
Yes.
Oh, definitely slightly buzzed. Makes the flight so much more enjoyable.
I would not want to fly hungover.
No. Leaning toward the mini bottles in a quart-sized bag through TSA. Be careful. They don't like you pouring your own liquor on the flights. You got to be stealthy about it because I think it's illegal.
Ah.
Not going to say I never did it. I'm just saying be careful.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you and good luck to everybody.
Thank y'all. We appreciate you. You're wonderful.
And good luck with the grasshoppers.
500bymidnight.com is the website. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, 500@gmail.com. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, call us. Our voicemail line is 702-866-9494. We'd love to hear from you. Share your reviews, your observations. If you're being swarmed by crickets or grasshoppers, what is the difference between a cricket and a grasshopper? Do we know?
Oh,
I didn't learn that this week. You'd think
grasshoppers
I'd know.
Green and crickets are like brown or black? And crickets make the little noise.
Here's something else I learned about grasshoppers this week. In their migration, apparently, so they can
this
maybe
is
this is the difference.
Educational show.
This might be the difference between crickets and grasshoppers. They are able to fly up to 10 feet high in the air, but only for like 30 feet at a time.
Wait, what?
They can fly, and they can go about 10 feet high.
And then 30 feet.
But
distance.
They're only able to go like a distance of 30 feet or so. That's a long trip. Hmm. If you have to land every 30 feet.
Yeah.
I don't understand nature.
No, crickets are the fuckers that get in your house and then they make the chirpy noise and you don't know where they are because they have this weird way to throw it. Huh. So that you can't
find
them.
Like you have a lot of experience with. All right. Anything else before? We'll be back with Bill Nye, Science Guy, in next week's show.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We appreciate it, and we'll be back soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.